and the things that are going on provokes us to declare not only with our mouths, but with our lives and our behavior, whose side we're really on. There's so much going on in our own country, and there's so much going on around the world. Had the opportunity to meet someone yesterday whose parents are missionaries in Turkey. In fact, the young lady was born in Turkey, and we're just briefly talking about the Christians that are in Muslim occupied or Muslim dominated countries. And I was sharing with her that we Christians, we really don't know the persecution that our brothers and sisters in those other countries have to go through. They some of them have underground churches. You remember when Pastor Amy Ayano, the Japanese pastor, was here with us a couple of times. She shared with us about the underground churches in North Korea, where they would have to greet with a hug, and you know, and they would do the sign of the cross on the back. That's how you knew who the real Christians were in that country. So a lot of things we take for granted. And that can be a trap to us. The apparent ease that we have in this country. We can still, thank God, worship freely. But that could change at any moment. We can still congregate, you know, in houses of worship. But that can change any moment. And I wonder if the commitment and the passion for the cause of Christ is at the level in each of us that it really should be. Or does there have to be a stripping away of some of the things that we put our confidence in order for us to realize again and to rethink again that God is our everything. He's our everything. And sometimes, maybe because things are not happening, we're not being marched out of our homes by soldiers, and we're not being shot dead for believing in Jesus Christ. Maybe we kind of say, okay, things are pretty cool, you know. And maybe we don't see the need for personal evangelism. We don't see the need to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ because things are not that bad over here. Maybe. So we have to be careful that we are not lulled to sleep by the conveniences that we can so readily lay our hands on. We have to be careful that that doesn't rock us to sleep. We have to be careful that the devil doesn't slip the pacifier of contentment with our portfolios and accounts and our cupboards. He doesn't slip that pacifier in our mouth and cause us to just sit there like a baby rocking and don't do anything about those who are dying all around us. So here we are in the 26th chapter of Matthew, and we find something interesting happening here, and we'll begin at verse 20. I have the AMPC. And Scripture says, when it was evening, he was reclining at table with the 12 disciples, talking about Jesus now. Verse 21, and as they were eating, He said, "Solemnly I say to you, one of you will betray me." Verse 22 says, "They were exceedingly pained and distressed and deeply hurt and sorrowful, and began to say to him one after another, 'Surely it cannot be I, Lord, can it?'" So the question that comes to my mind in reading this and a few other accounts of this is the question that they ask, "Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I?" Now, you have to remember and understand that these are the 12 people, the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples whom Jesus picked. And they were in, if you allow, close relation and mentorship of Jesus. They walked with him. They talked with him. They were right there for his teaching. They saw him perform many miracles. They were very, very close to him. These were the ones, except for Judas Iscariot, that were going to be responsible for promoting and spreading the gospel message. And yet, here, as he is about to enter into his passion, Jesus is about to be delivered up into the hands of evil men, he's sitting at the table with them. He says, one of you will betray me. So as we sit here this morning, I wonder, are there any betrayers in the house? So what are you trying to say? All right. Matthew chapter 26, stay there and move down to verse number 31. See, we're living in an evil day, and we're going to have to take a stand. We're going to have to take a stand. Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all be offended and stumble and fall away because of me this night, distrusting, deserting me." Wow. "For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.'" Imagine hearing those words. Imagine being one of the disciples of Jesus Christ and you hearing those words. You hear Jesus saying, "You're all going to be offended of me. You're all going to stumble. You're going to fall away this night. You're going to stop trusting. You're going to desert me. I won't turn back. I won't turn back." Okay, all right. "Because it's written, 'I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will scatter.'" So he's talking about scripture, all right? Psalm, actually 41, I believe. Verse 32, "But after I am raised up to life again, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." There's some hope there. Now here's Peter, the impulsive one. Peter declared to him, "Though they all are offended and stumble and fall away because of you and distrust and desert you, I will never do so." How many impulsive people do we have sitting here this morning? Jesus said to him, "Solemnly I declare to you this very night, before a single rooster crows, you will deny and disown me three times. My goodness. Verse 35, Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny or disown you. And all the disciples said the same thing. It seemed like the right thing to say in that situation, didn't it? It seemed like, oh, yeah, oh, no. I can just imagine, you know, oh, no, we're not going to do that, Lord. So, as I'm thinking this through, we need to look at some of the ways that it's possible for us to deny him in 2018. When we disobey God's word, we are denying him. We are denying that he is Lord of our life. When we don't believe him, are we denying him? When we doubt, when we want to do things our way, we want to solve an issue our way for our convenience, are we denying him? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. But sometimes the situation appears to be more than what we can bear. Sometimes it appears that way. But God will not put on us more than what we're able to bear. But with the temptation, God will provide a way of escape. So if I don't take the way of escape that God has provided, then I'm in essence denying his power. I'm in essence denying his grace. I'm in essence denying that he knows the path that I take. Is it me, Lord? I have to ask that question. Is it me? When an opportunity comes, a God-ordained opportunity comes for me to declare the righteousness of God, the rightness of God in a situation that could turn either way. Do I go on mute because of the surroundings that I'm in or the situation that I'm in? Or do I stand flat-footed, calmly, with the confidence that I have in God and declare, no, this is what God says. This is what pleases God. Do I talk to myself and encourage myself when my flesh wants to go in an opposite direction? Because it would be easier, for me to handle a situation in the flesh. That would be a lot easier. But it would be better for me to allow God to be my deliverer. It would be better for me to allow God to come to my defense instead of me having to justify and prove anything. Do I really believe that my life is hid in Christ? In one place, Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. So the actions that I take, the thoughts that I allow, to grow and develop in my mind that would cause me to do things that may not necessarily be sin, but it's not what God would want. Because sometimes I find that I search out gray areas. I search out the wobblers. I search out, that's just what the flesh will do. The flesh will search out and look with a microscopic lens for a loophole. Is there any way that I can still do what I want to do and still claim that I'm walking with God? Are my actions denying? Wait a minute. I've been in church for filling the number of years. We've been in church for filling the number of years. We've been saved for filling the number of years. We've been taught the Word of God. We've had the Word of God preached to. Kind of almost like these disciples here. And Jesus said, all of y'all going to turn your back. And they asked, one by one, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? And it's interesting that these questions and this conversation was happening right before communion. Lord, is it I? So we must search ourselves, search our hearts, and see if our thinking, if our conversation, if our behavior has been a denial of Jesus in any way. Sobering thoughts. Sobering thoughts. Peter said, even if I got to die with you, sometimes we big on talk, but small on walk. Okay, Peter. But I love even the grace and the mercy of God. When Jesus was having a conversation with Peter, he said, Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than thee? See, God knows us. He knows us inside and out. That's why we really, this is not just something to say, we really need to lean wholly on God. Because he knows us. God doesn't need anybody to testify about him, about us to him. He knows what's in us. He knows our thoughts are far off. God knows it. So the best thing to do is to receive strength from God. Receive instruction from God. Jesus asked Peter in the scripture, he said, Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yeah, Lord, I love you. Peter, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, I love you. Peter, do you love me more? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And what did he tell him? He said, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. I think that another word for converted is changed. And oftentimes, now this is just me thinking, you all could help me think this through, but oftentimes, even in our salvation experience, there's more change that needs to take place. It's not a one-time thing. There is more change that needs to take place, because somewhere along the line in navigating from earth to glory, the opportunity and the chance for a denial of Christ will creep in. And we don't pass the test all the time. But when you are converted, he said, strengthen your brethren. When you are changed, strengthen your brethren. One of the great things about receiving the Holy Ghost, one of the great things about having the Spirit of God on the inside is God will let us know when we are wrong. Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. And he usually doesn't thunder it from the clouds, because we couldn't take that. No more could the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. But God will speak to us in our hearts. You know you were wrong. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have went there. What are you dwelling on that all the time for? God will just sweetly and softly speak to us. And then it's up to us to decide what we're going to do. So when you are converted, God said, I know you love me. I know you do. I know you love me without a doubt. I know it. But there's still some things in you that needs to be changed. There's some things in me that needs to be changed. Because I don't want my actions, I don't want my thoughts, I don't want my deeds to be a denial of Christ. Lord, is it I? One of y'all, now he didn't say y'all, but I'm just saying that. One of y'all gonna deny me. You wanna have an opportunity each day that I give you. You wanna have more than what opportunity to affirm and confirm who you are and who you live for or deny. And somebody is going to deny. Lord, don't let it be me. Lord, don't let it be me. Scripture says, save yourself from this untoward generation. Examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. See, these are issues that we have to grapple with. These are issues that we may not like to confront because they're unpleasant. This is not a shout, jump up and down, slap your neighbor type of a setting here. This is an introspective look. Lord, is it me? Huh? Take a look at our interpersonal relationships. How are we dealing with one another? Huh? How are we, those of us who are married, how are we operating in marriage? Those who were single, how are you operating in your singleness? Is it in a manner that would please God? I'm saved. Oh, yeah. But praise the Lord. But what are you doing? I ain't got no water up here. I can't take a swallow. Is it I? No. I'm cool. Is it I? I'm just saying. I was just using that for effect. I'm just saying. Is it I? Okay. I'm working in the church. I'm working in the church. I'm supporting this ministry. I'm supporting that ministry. I'm a part of this. I'm a part of that. But then when I leave my brothers and my sisters, am I denying you, God? Is it I, Lord? Is it I? Now, see, you got to be careful of asking God the question. Because if you ask him, he's going to tell you. He will tell you. Because in one of the other accounts, I believe it's John, he said, the one that I give this to, that's the one. Lord have mercy. The one that I give the sup, the one who dips his hand with me, that's the one. Lord have mercy. Do you know that Judas had an opportunity to repent? Huh? Had an opportunity. He was in there. He said, Lord, is it I? See, you got to be careful that you don't, we have to be careful that we don't say things just because everybody else is saying things. We cannot afford to go along just to get along, to try to blend in with the congregation. The Lord knows them that are his. Huh? Huh? And let every one that names the name of Christ depart from evil. If we don't depart from evil, we're denying the Lord that bought us. We're denying the God that saved us. So let's look at ourselves. Let's examine ourselves. Let's look into our own life. Let's use the rake of the Word of God and rake through our own hearts and see if there are some rocks of denial in the field of our heart. And if there are, the rake of God's Word will expose it, and then we got to deal with it. We have to deal with, Lord, is it I? Lord, how have I denied you with my past behavior? What did I do this week that denied that I even know you? What did I say this week? What did I dwell on? A good conversation to have with ourselves and God before we come to the table. Lord, is it I? Do my thoughts deny you? Do my actions deny you? In John, there's an account of this. In one verse, I'll just read St. John chapter 13 and verse 18. To give us some hope. Some hope. Jesus said, I'm not speaking of, and I do not mean all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But it is that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread with me has raised up his heel against me. He was talking about Judas Iscariot. See that? So in Psalm 41 and 9, it says, even my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, relied on, and was confident, who ate of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Let's not eat of the bread of God and drink of the wine and then lift up our heel against God. Let's not do that. We have to ask ourselves, Lord, is it I? Am I the one that's going to betray you? Lord, and then in one passage it said, Lord, it's not me, is it? Lord, it's not me, is it? So, I like John's account in verse 21 of John 13. After Jesus had said these things, he was troubled and disturbed, agitated in spirit, and said, I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, one of you will deliver me up. One of you will be false to me and betray me. Let's not be false to God. The disciples kept looking at one another, puzzled as to whom he could mean. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, whom he esteemed and delighted in, was reclining next to him on Jesus' bosom. I believe that was John. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask him of whom he was speaking. So this conversation really shook them. And this conversation should really shake us today. And Peter asked John, why don't you ask him? Then leaning back against Jesus' breast, he asked him, Lord, who is it? We have to ask ourselves the same question. Lord, who is it in here that's been betraying you or that will betray you? And then the ultimate question, Lord, is it I? I think that's enough for us to think about. I really do. This is serious. No time to play. Time is far spent. I believe the day is at hand. I believe the returning of the Lord is imminent. I really believe that. I'm not just saying this. I really believe that. And we need to be ready. We need to make sure that we are not betrayers. Scripture says, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. So we need to ask ourselves, Lord, is it I? And while we have breath, while God's grace is still extended to us, we can make sure that it's not I. Scripture says, make your calling and election sure. God did not make a mistake in calling us to salvation. Amen? But we are saved to be saved. We are saved and we are in the process of being saved. We're in the sanctification process, and we must complete the process. So each day, I think we need to add this to the list of questions that we ask God and ask ourselves. Lord, is it I? And then we can enfold in that the mindset of let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I want everything that I do, I want everything that I think about, I want everything that I say to be acceptable in God's sight. That's all I want. That's all I need. And then I'll be able to see God's face in peace. Then we will be able to see God's face in peace. So ask yourself the question in your heart. You don't have to audibly say it, but if you want to say, Lord, is it I? And you and I know what's really in our hearts, and God knows too. But look at the grace and the mercy that he extends to us to get things right. So whatever is not right, we can get it right. And then we can take of the Lord's blood and of the Lord's body without reservation and without hesitation, because we did what we needed to do to ensure that there's nothing between our soul and our Savior. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. This is what the Lord has given me to, for us to contemplate, think about. This is absolutely necessary. It is absolutely necessary. We need to pray. We need to pray. If you're able and if you're willing to make your way to the altar, you can come. I want to pray for everybody, because I think when we really get a good look at God and look at ourselves, we feel, well, like the prophet Isaiah said in the year that King Uzziah died. He said, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the whole temple. And then Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of glory. When we get a real look at God and see his holiness and see his righteousness and see his awesomeness and see his might and his power and see his patience and see his love, see his tenderness, see his forbearance, see his long suffering, see how much he puts up with us because he loves us. See how we couldn't do anything to earn his love, to earn his favor, to earn his forgiveness, but he lavishes his love on us because he is intended and determined for us to make it. He is intending and determined to present us to himself faultless. Who could fathom and understand that type of love that God has for us? We can't even begin to describe the depth of that type of love that God has for us. So God, here we are. Here we are, God. Here we are. We're here corporately, collectively, as well as individually. We acknowledge, oh God, we acknowledge our sin, our wrong. We acknowledge, God, because your word clearly says if we say that we have not sinned, then we're liars. But your word says if we confess our sins, that you, look at you, God, you're so faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We haven't done all that we should have, and we've done some things that we shouldn't have. So, God, we're not coming with excuses. Search our hearts, God. Know our thoughts. See if there be some wicked way in us. Cleanse us from sin and lead us in the way everlasting. God, we're asking that you will continually write your law. Write it on the table of our hearts and cause us to walk upright before you. God, we renounce all the hidden works of darkness. We renounce iniquity. We renounce evil. We renounce sin. We hate the sin that dwells in our members. God, we're your children. You are our God. You are our Father. You are our help. You're the only God that we have and the only God that we need. Forgive us, God, of our sins. Against thee and thee only have we sinned, that thou mightest be clear when thou speakest and right when thou judgest. You are the righteous judge of all the earth. We thank you for your blood that washes us white as snow. God, we thank you for the privilege of having our sins forgiven. We thank you for the privilege of dining at your table. We thank you for the privilege that you've given us once again to commune, to have fellowship with you and fellowship with one another. Help us to love you with all of our heart, all of our might, all of our mind, all of our strength, all of our soul. And help us to love one another. Lord God, let your love flow. Let it flow from heart to heart and breast to breast. Help us. Those that are weak, Lord God, to strengthen. Lord God, deliver as only you can. Lord God, heal in the name of Jesus. Heal itamosa. Spiritual healing, oh God. Iranabokasa. Spiritual healing, God. Most important is spiritual healing. God. Mental healing. Emotional healing, physical healing, financial healing. Let your perfect will, God, let it be done in our lives. We're your people. We're dedicated to your fear, God. You know we love you, and we cannot make it without you, but we can do all things through Christ that gives us the strength. And by your word and by your power and by the leading and controlling and directing of your Spirit, we will walk in holiness. We will walk in righteousness so that you will get all the honor and all the praise. We thank you for hearing our prayer. We receive this answer to our prayer even now. So we're ready, Iramosa. We're ready, O God, to feast with you. We're ready, O God, to dine at your table and to receive an infusion of power and to receive an infusion of the eternal God himself through supping and dining on your blood and your body. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. If we believe that God heard our prayer, let's give him some praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What a blessing to receive a new beginning from God. What a blessing. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's for all of us who are in Christ. What a blessing. What a blessing. They're going to come and bring the table. And we're going to ask our bishops, Bishop Usery, if you will pray for the body, as the red represents Bishop Phillips, if you will pray for the blood, as the wine represents. We're going to ask you to come when we call you, but I'd like for us, I want Bishop Usery and Bishop Phillips and Elder Wainwright, I want you all to anoint Pastor Elaine, and we're going to pray for her. She goes in for a procedure tomorrow, and I know we have the gifts of healing in our ministry. Amen? I don't have it, but I believe they do. So we want them operating. Come on. We want them operating in our assembly. So I want you to anoint her. Yes. Yes. Amen. And the congregation, let's point our hands in faith. Point our hands in faith. Point our hands in faith. In the name of Jesus. This is number 7. All right. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Lord. Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give God praise. We believe in God for miracles. Same God back then, the same God now. Amen. It's nothing too hard for God. Nothing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So our bishops will now pray for the elements. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you once again. for this great blessed opportunity to come to your table.
Thank you, Lord.
And as we present this broken bread to you, which represents your broken body.
Yes, Lord.
We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would accept it and acknowledge that it is what it is.
Yes,
it is
Lord.
Your body that you laid out for us.
Yes, Lord.
You gave and you gave and you gave and you gave and you continue to give.
Thank you, Lord.
We praise you, Lord Jesus, because by your stripes that were applied to your body, your
yes.
word says we are healed.
Yes.
And Father God, there may be someone else standing here today that's looking for healing, but let them know as they take of this bread today,
yes.
that they can take on healing power
yes.
to change their lives, both spiritually and naturally.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you for the power that comes within what you've done for us, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We receive it. We thank you for it, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We don't do it carelessly. We don't do it callously, but we do it with a spirit of appreciation.
Yes, Lord.
We do it with a spirit of thanksgiving.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for your broken body.
Yeah, Lord.
We thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Because each time we come, it presents us the opportunity to take advantage of what you've done for us.
Thank you.
And we want you to know, Father God, we appreciate it, and we thank you for it right
yes,
now.
Lord. Yes,
in
Lord.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And now, Father, we thank you that you have afforded us this arena, this opportunity, Lord,
yes, Lord.
To celebrate you, to partake of your body as a body.
Yes.
Lord, to ingest you, hallelujah, so that you can infest us, Lord.
Yes.
With essence of your holiness, essence of your character, your,
yes,
your culture and your morality, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We're thanking you right now that you are not just with us, Lord, that you are in us. And yes. those of us that you're not in, Lord, you're here available, willing,
yes.
and wanting to and able to come inside of
thank
us,
you,
Lord.
Jesus.
We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, for these symbols of remembrance, Lord, so that we
yeah.
can remember the shame that you shed for us up on the cross.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. For the suffering and the torture
thank
and
you.
The bleeding and the bruising that you
thank
suffered
you.
For us up on the cross and counted it as your passion, Lord.
Thank you,
because
Jesus.
You loved us that much, Lord.
Thank you,
it
Lord.
Is me, Lord, that you died for up on that cross.
Yes, Lord.
It is me, Lord, that you paid the price
thank
of your
you,
life,
Jesus.
That you poured your blood over me that made me more valuable to you than your own life, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That's how powerful, hallelujah, you have made us in this earthen realm,
Jesus.
Lord. You put your spirit in our bodies, and
thank
hallelujah,
you.
Because now we have been infused with your blood and infused
yes.
with the sustenance from your body, we can go out and be a blessing to everyone. We have
thank
the power of healing because of your blood. We have
thank
the power
you.
Of healing because of your body. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And because we are your body, the church, Lord, we know that you are here in us today, Lord. And
yes.
when we partake of these symbols today, Lord, we're going to go out, Lord, and we're going to be stronger. Hallelujah. We're going to
yes.
be more of a blessing because you shed,
thank
hung,
you.
And died
thank
your blood
you.
Upon
thank
that cross. Hallelujah.
You.
Some 2,000 years ago, and
thank
it's
you.
Still working right here today.
Yes,
and we
Lord.
Thank you for it.
Thank
and
you.
We receive it right now in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Restoring me the joy I found. Renew.